Morning, brothers and sisters. We are going through 2 Timothy. Now we enter into chapter 4. Today we are going to look at verse 1 to 5. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 1 to 5. It is amazing to think about what Paul was writing to Timothy. Generally, old people, before they're going to die, they generally give the assets, the documents, important documents. Is it right? They will tell all documents they have, how many people they have to give to the money return. They will explain everything. Every time, if anybody is going to die, he will give the most important things to his children, grandchildren. Here, Paul, he is giving the most important thing to Timothy, that is the word of God. He is explaining the importance of the gospel. If you read verse chapter 1 onwards, he is exhorting, he is explaining to Timothy how he should stand for the gospel. Then he is explaining the danger of last days. You need to stand when you are facing the dangers. Then he is explaining the preciousness of the word of God, as we seen last time. He is explaining the importance of the scripture. Now he is going forward, that is preaching the word of God. Preaching the word of God. So most of the time, preachers, they are busy with other things. Like sometimes they are busy with social works, visiting houses more than twice, thrice. Just they are wandering here and there. They are not studying the word of God. What you are doing? They say, I'm doing ministry. But what is the main ministry that every pastor should do? That is the preaching ministry. Preaching ministry. That's what Paul is commanding to Timothy to focus on main thing. Sometimes, once in a time, in Acts chapter 6, the people care, some gadbad happened, fighting happened between Hellenistic Jews and also Hebrew Jews because of food. Because one party is not serving properly food. Maybe they are giving one piece of chicken to one party, two piece of chicken to other party. Some division happened, fighting happened. Then every congregation came to disciples. They told, see, some gadbad is happening. What to do? Then disciples said like this, Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, that is the context. They said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Nothing wrong to serve the table, but this is not duty of pastors or ministers always serving things and doing other things. He told that it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God. Then he told was they told them, verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Disciples knows, apostles knows what is the most important work of a pastor. That is the preaching the word. That's what Paul is saying. Even that is my desire. Everyone desire, each and every one of us who is going to be a pastor, the office you have is the preaching ministry. Preaching ministries. Serving the church with the word of God. Just we read chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. It says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. That is our main command, we can see. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The main lesson that we can learn from this passage is the urgency of preaching the word. The urgency of preaching the word. That is the theme of this passage. If you look at verse 1, it says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. What he charging was to preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions. Even these commandments are related to the preaching. Like reproof, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. It is connecting to the main command, preach the word. Look at the words, verse 6. It says, it started with the word for. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. He is giving the reason why you should preach the word. Even verse 3 and 4 is connected to the main command, preach the word. What about verse 5? Started with the word, but you. However things happen, whatever people are doing with the word of God, but you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Even verse 5 is connecting, preach the word. The verse 1 to 5 is one section that talks about preaching ministry. That we need to focus on the main command, preach the word, preach the word. Why preaching the word of God the most urgent work for a minister? Look at verse 1. It says, I solemnly charge you. Paul is charging Timothy. The meaning of the word charge in Greek, to exert with great authority in matters of extraordinary importance. So Paul is exhorting with authority in matter of preaching, which has extraordinary importance. If it is not important, Paul could not charge Paul, Timothy. It refers to the... This word refers to the suggestion of peril. There is a danger if Timothy is not preaching the word. That's why Paul is urging him, solemnly charging him with great authority. Paul used here present tense. So Paul is not telling now. He is telling continually, repeatedly to Timothy to preach the word of God whenever he meets Timothy. Because it is very urgent work. We can say second reason why it is very urgent work of minister. Look at verse 2 says, preach the word. Preaching means to make official announcement, to make known by an official messenger. When I was living in my village, that time elders will call all villagers. Before they call all villagers to discuss important things about that village, they will call their servants, like elder servant. He will go into the streets. Then he will announce, today we are gathering, today we are gathering. So that is the idea Paul is saying. You need to proclaim loudly the word of God. That is the idea, the preaching the word of God. It is not talking about just talking one-to-one, silently speaking, but Paul is saying you need to announce loudly. You need to proclaim loudly. That is the meaning of preaching the word of God. Public declaration. You are learning the word in seminary. Not to keep it with you, but to proclaim aloud. Make the word of God public declaration. That is the lesson you need to learn. The Holy Spirit is teaching us, whatever you are learning here, you need to preach, proclaim loudly in public. That is why every church needs pulpit. Because every minister should stand in front of pulpit, keep his Bible on the pulpit, then he will announce. That's what I am doing. I am speaking aloud. I am declaring. I am announcing the word of God. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. The main command in this passage is to preach the word. If you understand the idea, if you read the preach the word, it looks like general, but Paul is saying something else. He's increasing the flame. If you understand the stress is on that command, is urgency of action. The idea is Paul is commanding Timothy like this: I solemnly charge you to act, to do it now. Make this your top priority. That is the idea. Make this as your top priority, nothing else. This is the most important work you need to do, Timothy. I am commanding you. You know, two P's are very important for pastors. First P is preaching. Second P is prayer. These two things, what disciples told to congregations. Very important. Okay, why should a pastor make this as a top priority? Is Paul answered that last passage. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. He says that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Then look at verse 16. He says, the all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for corrections, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be advocate and equipped for every good work. If you understand the power of the word of God, if you understand the inspiration of word of God, how the word of God has come, if you understand the usefulness of word of God, as we learned last time, you cannot be silent. So you understand the preciousness of word of God, the value of word of God, the sufficiency of word of God, then he is moving. He is connecting chapter 4 into chapter 3. You need to preach that word. You need to preach that word. It is the most important work of a man of God. What do you think, brothers? If you came to PTS to study word of God, the main work of a minister is preaching the word of God, preaching in Bible study, preaching in youth Bible study, preaching, counseling. You need to use your word to announce the word. That is your most important work. Not doing all things like social works. That is necessary thing, unnecessary things most of the times. Here we have five facts about preaching the word that a preacher must know. So today I'm going to explain to you three facts about preaching the word that a preacher must know. The remaining two facts we will see in next week. The first fact about preaching the word that a preacher must know. You preacher, you must know about the preaching the word. That is the motivation for preaching. The motivation for preaching. Look at verse 1 says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. There is a motivation. Why you need to preach the word? The first motivation for preaching is it is done under divine sight. It is done under divine sight. It says, right, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. If you see that word, that phrase, literally before God, before Christ, in the sight of God, in the sight of Christ, I exhort you, Timothy, to preach the word. It is done under the sight of God, in the presence of God. Paul is not charging Timothy to preach, not by himself. He is representing God and Christ. God and Christ are approving what Paul is commanding to Timothy. This is not interest of Paul. It is interest of God and Christ. God and Christ. But Paul is delivering as inspired author and an apostle the information. You know, in ancient days, kings won't announce everything. King will tell to the messenger, the servant. The servant will come and announce instead of God, king. Same thing is happening. Paul is declaring, Paul is charging Timothy in sight of God. That means God is approving what Paul is saying. To know that truth, you can see 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17 says, "For we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God." In the sight of God. Did you understand? If you are preaching the word of God, you are preaching in the sight of God. The same idea Paul is talking. This command is coming from God. Whenever you are preaching in the sight of God. He is watching. Even he is present right now with us. While I am preaching to you, he is listening to me. I am preaching under his care, under his sight. That is the idea. Preaching connected to the God's presence and Christ's presence. Don't feel bad, brothers. If you are shepherding less people, maybe after finishing your graduation, you go and plant the church. Maybe you will find one family, two, three people, almost maybe 1 year, 2 years, two people are coming to you. Don't feel bad. But whenever you are preaching, you can sense the presence of God. You are preaching the word in the presence of God. Presence of God. He is with you. Don't think about your weakness. I am weak. I don't know that one. I don't know this one. How can I manage to preach the word of God? But he will give you the strength when you are preaching because he is in the present. He is present whenever you are preaching. And it will help us to preach the word of God accurately. If you know it is done under sight of God. The second motivation for preaching is it is connected to Christ's future work. It is connected to Christ's future work. Look at verse 1 says, part B. Who is to judge? Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and dead by his appearing and his kingdom. If you see judgment, if you see his appearing, you can see his kingdom. These three things are future works of God, works of Christ especially. It is connected to Christ's future work. So that is the motivation to preach. This will give you energy to preach, brothers. If you understand Christ's future work. First, Christ's work in future is judgment of God. Please understand the judgment of Christ. Then motivation will come to preach the word. It says, right, who is to judge the living and dead? Acts chapter 10, verse 42 says, "And he ordered us to preach to people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of living and dead." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5 says, "But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and dead." What we are learning here, Jesus Christ is going to judge living and dead. He is the judge. He is the judge. That is future work, future work. But there is a connection between preaching and Christ's judgment. It is possible, most probably, it is true as well as Christ will judge according to their response to the preaching of God. Do you understand? Christ will judge each and every one of us, each and every person, based on their response towards God's preaching, God's word. See, to judge means to determine the innocence or guilty of someone. It is also means as well as to assign an appropriate reward or punishment. He is going to give reward, he is going to give punishment. That is called judgment. He is going to do that. We can see two major judgments of Christ. The first one is judgment of believers. He is going to judge believers. This is not condemnation for hell, but an evaluation of believers' behavior and deeds and their actions, and also behavior and godliness of a minister. He is going to judge them. He is going to give reward to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 to 15 says, especially it is talking about the judgment of ministers from God. It says, each man's work will be evident, for the day show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. Fire means judgment. The fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Christ is going to judge ministers. Paul is reminding to Timothy, that is the motivation. Christ is going to judge you based on your behavior, based on your preaching ministry. So that is the motivation. Whatever you are preaching, whatever you are doing, one day you need to be give your accounts to God, accounts to Christ. So that is the motivation to preach the word of God. And also, the second judgment is the judgment of unbelievers, the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, 11 to 15, we can see that. We can understand based on this truth, all believers, unbelievers are accountable to Christ because of what they have heard, because how they responded to the word of God. Based on that, he is going to give reward. Based on word of God, he is going to judge, send people into the hell. Brothers, his judgment is based on preaching, so you need to preach the word of God. That is the motivation. That is the motivation we have. If you preach the word of God accurately, the church will grow. They will receive more reward. If you are not explaining the truth properly, they don't know how to lead their godliness, they are going to lose their reward. If you are not preaching the word of God, unbelievers won't understand the gospel, they are going to into the hell. If you are preaching the word of God, if unbelievers understood, then they believe in Jesus Christ. Christ is going to give them eternal life. Everything, his judgment is connected to the preaching of word. So preach the word. Preach the word. That is the motivation. The second Christ work in the future, coming of Christ. Judgment of Christ. Second work of Christ in future, coming of Christ. Look at it says, by his appearing. It refers to the second coming of Christ. After that, he will be functioning as judge. He comes first, then he function as judge. You know that 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14 also says, you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even Jesus said to his disciples before he leave, he said that I will go and prepare homes for you, place for you, and I will come and receive you to myself where I am. So he is coming back again. When he comes, he is going to judge. Third Christ work in the future is rule of Christ. Rule of Christ. Look at verse 1. It says, by his appearing, his kingdom. Christ will not only judge the world and believers, but he will establish his sovereign rule. All men and women will confess him as sovereign Lord and King. The idea is he is coming to rule as a king. He is coming to judge. He is coming to rule. If you understand the greatness of Christ, if you understand the power of Christ, you can't be silent. You will preach. When you preach the word, people may criticize you. But your motivation is You are preaching about the word. You are preaching the word about the one who is coming to judge and who is coming to rule. Paul is encouraging Timothy to preach the word, whatever situation he is in, because of this motivation. It's right, right? Whenever you say Jesus is God, they may criticize you, but one day they will understand. One day they will understand. Your preaching is not going to be vain. It will be fruitful one day. The second fact about preaching the word, that a preacher must know, is the occasion of preaching. First one is the motivation for preaching. Second one, the occasion of preaching. Look at verse 2. It says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. The meaning of the word ready is to be present in readiness, to discharge a task, fix one's mind on, stand by, be persistent. Timothy is being urged to keep his preaching ministry continuing. He should be ready anytime. He needs to present himself in readiness to preach the word of God. This word was used to soldiers who are ready to fight against sudden attacks. It's like, I can say that did you observe that construction workers, if one person is working there, then another worker will throw the stone. Right? Do you understand? That person is ready to catch that. So that kind of readiness, how soldier will be ready to fight against enemies, how a guard, a watchman will be ready if some thief will come into the house. That much readiness a man of God should have to preach the word of God. That's what Paul is saying. And he is commanding, even readiness also, urgent. Yes, that is also imperative. You need to be ready all the time. It is urgent work. He says, be ready in season and out of season. Sometimes pastors use this phrase to quote immediate preaching. If you go to the church, they won't inform you early that you are going to preach. Suddenly they announce the name of preacher, that is you. Please come and preach. They won't inform early. Then if you say no, I am not ready, then they will quote this verse. Be ready in season, out of season. This verse is not saying how immediately you preach, but in what situation you preach. That is the difference. In what situation you should preach. If you are ready, if you know the word of God, you can preach. Nothing wrong in that, but they will quote like this. It is not talking about immediate preaching, but in what situation, in what occasion you should preach. The idea of in season and out of season is whether it is convenient or not. Whether people like it or not. Whether people ask to preach or not. When the word of God is available, unavailable. Whether you feel motivated to preach. Sometimes you are not motivated to preach. Whether people want to hear it or not. Whether people welcome or unwelcome. Even it is not popular thing to do. If somebody asks you, what is your job? What are you doing? You say, pastor. If somebody asks somebody else who is doctor, what is your profession? I am doctor. Then people will respect that person, right? Then what about IT guy and software earning lakhs of rupees? Which one is popular in this world? Being a preacher is popular thing. Being a doctor, a software engineer, or CA, whatever it is, the pilot, driving flights. There are many popular things in the world. People may think those things are popular. People think that preaching the word of God, pastoring the church is not a popular thing in the world. What Paul is saying, whether it is popular or not, whether the word of God is available or not, you need to preach in season, out of season, whatever situation comes. Sometimes people doesn't want to listen your sermon, but you need to preach them. That is the idea. That is the idea. Because they don't like whatever you are preaching from the Bible, they don't like, even that they don't like, you preach. I have little experience, brothers. In my small experience, if you're preaching, you know, people don't like, they will look at you like this. Look at you very seriously at you things. If they don't like you because of other things, they may not listen to your word, some of you congregations. I'm not saying here, generally I'm speaking. People may not like you because of other things, but you need to preach in season, out of season. But I want to focus on, but Paul is saying you, he used singular, right? He is speaking with Timothy. Whether whatever things are happening around you, but you need to preach the word of God, whether they like it or not. Paul is the best example of this, brothers. He is preaching what he is doing. He is preaching what he is doing. He was preaching the word even in imprisonment. He preached when people could not listen to him, were not like the word. He preached after people stoned him. Did you think that one? He preached after he was beaten several times, in season, out of season. You know, John Bunyan was preaching the word of God even though he was commanded not to preach. For that he was put in the imprisonment almost 12 years. In season, out of season. When people left Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, you are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turn away from me. Even though people, your co-workers may leave you, but you should not stop the word of God, preaching word of God. He preached when false teachers are around him. Colossians, the best example. He preached when others are preaching out of jealous. You know, sometimes others may preach out of jealous. Philippians chapter 1, you can read that. Some people are preaching out of jealousy, but Paul is preaching. He did not stop preaching. He preached when an apostle, Peter, compromised about the gospel message when he avoided Gentiles. Galatians chapter 1. When people from James are coming, Peter, he was having fellowship with the Gentile Christians. When he has seen them, he went away. He left them. Even though some compromises in faithful pastors, but you should not compromise. Preach the word of God. Be ready in season, out of season. He preached when he was angry, when he was hurted by others, his own people, by his own nations. So that's what Paul is saying. What he was done, he is preaching to Timothy. Be ready, whatever situation happens. Because it is most important work. This is your topmost priority to do. A minister needs to preach the word of God all time, all time. This is not talking about preaching without preparation, preaching without studying the word. All situation, you should be ready, but you need to prepare the word of God. You need to study the word of God, but you need to preach the word of God. Brothers, Paul is commanding Timothy only because he is writing this letter to him alone. Now there is no Timothy. He is dead already. You need to take the place of Timothy. Paul was saying to Timothy, you must be ready in season, out of season, you. There is no Timothy now. You need to take his place. You be ready in season, out of season, whatever situation happens. This is command. This is not, he is not giving his opinion. He is giving command. This is command. We are living in the world. We have enough word of God sometimes. But we are facing false teaching as well as true teachings. People are not willing to listen to your word. They need some stories, or intellectual ideas, or good things about them. We are going to look at next week. Even though people are like that, even though you are facing false teachers, even though you can see compromises in your co-workers, but you should preach. You must continue in the preaching the word of God. Third fact about preaching the word that a preacher must know. First fact, the motivation for preaching. Second fact, the occasion of preaching. Third fact, you must know as a preacher, the purpose of preaching. Why you are preaching? Well, why I should preach? Here I am going to give you why you need to preach. The purpose of preaching. Look at verse 2 part B. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Three purposes of preaching the word he has given. The first purpose of preaching the word is to convince of sin and error. Why you are preaching? In every Sunday, in Bible study, in youth Bible study, there is a purpose, there is a goal, that is to convince sin and error. Sin and error. He says, right, reprove. The meaning of the word is to bring to light, to expose, bring a person to the point of recognizing his wrongdoing, convincing someone of his sin and his error. That is the idea. Show his fault, show his wrongdoing through your preaching. Whenever you are preaching, whenever you are teaching, you need to show the sin and error of congregation. Matthew chapter 18 verse 15. The same word used here also. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault. Say, show him his fault. That same word Paul is using here. You need to show the fault of congregation based on the word of God. That is your duty. That is your responsibility. Not only pastor responsibility, even Matthew 18, 15, even common believers, you can reprove. You can show somebody's sin through the word of God. Everybody responsibility. But here, the man of God who is preaching word of God, he has that responsibility to show, to convince the sins of errors of believers. Even Titus 2:15, Paul told to Titus, he says like this, these things speak, exhort, and reprove with all authority. All authority. God has given to a man of God authority. The authority is not coming from us, from God. God gave that authority. If someone is contradicting the Bible, someone is not acting according to the word of God, that time you, a pastor, a man of God, has to expose their sin, convince of their sin. That's what Paul is saying. He told Timothy, he told Titus. Finally, he is helping us the responsibility of a pastor. Sometimes some preaching is just casual information, giving information. You need to press, you need to expose the sin of sinners so that they can be like Jesus. We sing, right? Show us Christ. How people will become Christ. You as a man of God, when you are exposing the sins of congregation, they will become like Christ. They can see Christ. Second purpose of preaching. The first purpose of preaching is to convince of sin and error. Second purpose of preaching is to warn sinning person. To warn sinning person or to warn sinning saint. Look at verse 2, part B. It says, reprove and rebuke. It has idea to express strong disapproval of someone. I don't like your conduct. It's like he is increasing the flame. Before exposing the sin, now rebuke means you are seriously speaking with that person. You are disagreeing with that person because of the word of God, because of their sin. That is the idea. Speak seriously about their sins and doctrinal errors. it has idea warn in order to warn them in order to bring their action in right way. That is called rebuke. But I want to give you some tips. The usefulness of rebuke from preaching ministry. The first usefulness, no, its goal is repentance before God. Whenever you rebuke from the scripture, the people will repent of their sins before God. Why I'm saying Luke chapter 1, 17. Luke 17 verse 3 says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And it is done in a spirit of forgiveness. Brothers, Paul is helping us. Like the word of God is helping us. You need to rebuke. The purpose of rebuke is repentance before God. But you need to rebuke in the spirit of forgiveness. If they repent of their sins, you need to forgive that person. As a pastor, as a minister, even anybody, any common believer, if you rebuke somebody else, if that person is repenting of that sin, you need to forgive that person. You need to speak with that person with love. Take that person and encourage that person. Brothers, we should rebuke them in our preaching, in our personal conversations, in our counselings, because of their sins, in the spirit of forgiveness. Here Paul commands Timothy to rebuke those who are in sinning and believing errors. This command indicates urgency of action. This one also urgency. Sometimes you need to rebuke the people urgently to protect the congregation, to protect that person from sin. The second thing about rebuking should lead others to trust Christ, recognize who he is. It should help them to recognize their sins when you are rebuking. You remember the one thief rebuked another thief. It says Luke chapter 23 verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But other answered, rebuking him, said, do you not even fear God, since you are under same sentence of condemnation? Verse 41 says, and we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong, nothing wrong. It's like rebuking should lead congregation, others, to repent of their sins, to understand their sins, to know who Christ is. The content of rebuke must fill with the truth, not your ideas. You should show the scripture that rebuke must have the content. It's like someone is gossiping in your church, in your future church. He is damaging. Then no, you need to rebuke that person through the preaching. When that word of God is coming, you need to explain that sin. You need to rebuke. You need to speak seriously about that sin. You need to increase the flame so that that person may be convinced of that sin. But you should rebuke in the spirit of forgiveness. Not only rebuking for sins and also for doctrinal errors. Martin Luther, who rebuked Roman Catholic priests for their teaching, he rebuked them with the truth. He wrote 95 theses and nailed them on the main door of church building. It is like he's rebuking the full Roman Catholic system with the content, with the truth. You are doing wrong. You are doing wrong. I am giving the truth. We need to be like that as a man of God. Third purpose of preaching the word, to encourage weak saints. The first purpose, to convince of sin and error, to warn sinning person. The third one, to encourage weak saints. Look at verse 2. It says, exhort with great patience and instructions. The meaning of the word exhort is literally to ask to come. it is like comforting that person. It is like encouraging that person. Call to one side, you come to my side. Like comforting that person through the word of God. That is the main purpose. It refers to urging strongly, appealing, encouraging. The pastor should encourage us, the church, not only focus on always reproving and rebuking, always scolding, but that is also has place. But you need to encourage through the word of God. That is the purpose you must have. Paul was preaching what he is doing. Paul is an example of an encourager through the preaching of word. If you see Acts chapter 16, verse 40 says, they went out of prison, entered the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Who should encourage whom? People should encourage Paul, right? But he came out of prison, he encouraged, and he is going. Because he knows pastoral ministry. He is preaching what he was doing. 2 Corinthians 10:1 says, now I, Paul, myself urge you by meekness and gentleness of Christ. So many times Paul urged people. 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging, imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. You are like father, even though you have small age or you have you are aged also, you are like father to your congregation. You need to comfort the congregation. You need to urge the congregation to follow Christ. So that is the purpose. Three purposes of preaching Paul has given. But he gave the manner how we should do these all things, like reproof, rebuke, and exhort. He explains, he gives a manner of encouraging, rebuking, reproving, and urging. Manner means how something is done, how something is done. That is instructing with great patience. Look at the word instruction. Instruction, which means activity of teaching. Here, idea is teaching, instruction is the main action. Patience is a quality of the teaching. You need to teach, you need to instruct through your preaching, whenever you are preaching, whenever you are teaching, but the teaching must have quality of patience. The meaning of the word patience is the state of being able to bear up under provocation. Sometimes believers will behave opposite of what they were taught. Some may provoke preachers. Some may provoke you, Timothy. Some may not like you. Whatever they are doing, that will hurt you. You may lose patience, but don't lose your patience. Even for that Paul's example, he has a lot of patience. Look at the same epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. It says, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience. Did you see? You follow my patience. I have patience when I am teaching to my congregation. You must have patience. Do you have patience in teaching? Sometimes we young pastors or any pastor don't have enough patience. We want immediate change in believers' life. We want revival through one sermon. We want to change everybody in the congregation with one sermon. We don't have patience. Paul is saying it is not easy, man. People won't change you even though you are preaching verse by verse, even though you are explaining very clearly, they don't want to change because of sinful nature. But you must have patience. You must have patience. We can learn many ministry tips from Paul, right? Because initially he was thinking everybody will change, but he came to know that people won't change immediately. We must have patience when we are preaching. It is like a lifetime agreement, lifetime settlement. We can say that. Generally, if you have any project, you will sign for 6 months. Then after that, you go. But here you are signing as a pastor lifetime. Until your death, you need to preach the word of God with patience, with patience. That is the lesson we must learn. That's why even good church members, their exposition has, even they don't want to change. Because the pastor must have the patience. We must have patience. I want to conclude this section. Big and strong and deep-rooted trees can't grow immediately. Do you accept that? Weak plants and small plants are trees grow fast and die soon, and their branches will be shaken, broken immediately. You know drumstick tree? It grows. Immediately it will grow. Then some wind will come, it will fall. What about other trees? Take trees. It will grow slowly, but that won't be shaken. Because of slowness, because of going deep and deep, going rooted. We need to understand. God wants to plant the deep-rooted trees through your ministry. So it takes time, brothers. We must have patience. Maybe you won't understand now. If you go plant the church, when people are not changing immediately, you will understand. It will take time. You need patience in teaching ministry and preaching ministry. We have seen, I told that five facts about preaching the word that a preacher must know. First fact, the motivation for preaching, the occasion of preaching, the purpose of preaching. Next two facts we will look at next week. God may help us to fulfill this ministry. God may give us that heart of love for the preaching. Because we understood whatever preaching, whenever you are preaching, it is connected to eternity. You are preaching against hell, the gates of hell. You are preaching the word of God against all satanic influences. You are doing the most important work, that is preaching the word of God. Don't give up. As you are studying here, you need to focus on preaching especially, as well as prayer. But God may help us to cultivate this seriousness about preaching the word. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving the word of God. Lord, help us to preach your word. Take away, Lord, all unnecessary things in our lives. Help us to focus on preaching. Give us strength to study your word and preach your word. Lord, give us patience, Lord. But give us endurance, Lord, while we are preaching, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving the most valuable work, Lord, that is preaching your word. Help us, Lord, to obey your command so that we may preach your word to congregation. Lord, help us, give us heart to love our congregation, Lord, through preaching. Lord, give us strength to serve them, Lord, through our preaching, Lord. Lord, bless each and every one of us here to please you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.